The Shark Tank. No jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world. And today, I got one of my homies in the building, man. Somebody I really fuck with and has loved his him being a comedian. His your comedy is dope. We got Concrete in the building today, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo,
how are you feeling today, bro?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling sharp, baby. I had to come in here and throw on a little fit, dog, because I already knew Sharp was going to come with it, you know? Sharp was going to come looking like $1 million.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like, yeah, you really did try today.
You know, I tried. Damn, dog. I tried. It still didn't. It wasn't enough for Sharp, dog. It wasn't enough for Sharp still, dog. Oh, okay. Man. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man. Yeah, dog. You got the $8 t-shirt. Okay, I see
Concrete.
You.
It's an honor to be able to do this interview pretty much right here in your backyard.
This is it right here, man.
How does it feel to be doing that, man, for real, for you?
You know, dog, growing up in the neighborhood in San Fernando, like, I never, you know, I used to think Hollywood was miles away, dog. It didn't register to me as a kid. And I remember, as, you know, being 5'6", I already knew I wanted to be an actor. I was very comedic around my family. So, yeah. To me, it was just, you know, like, I never really saw the Valley as the place where it's at, you know what I'm saying? So, me just trying to work through shit growing up. Obviously, you know, eventually I found out that I was in the mecca of entertainment in a way, you know what I'm saying? If it's not right here, it's New York, and... You know, and so, you know, just, you know, to be here today doing No Jumper with you, man, the Shark Tank, this is dope, man. It's like, you know, like, okay, I guess I'm doing something right, dog.
It seems like you're doing something right. I mean, everything that you touch, man, is going up. You've been having a lot of shows. I think you're doing Laugh Factory here.
Yeah, I'm doing that tonight. I'm doing a special guest pop-in. It's not advertised, so the people that are going to, you know, be there, you know, like, they're in for a treat today and you know, so they get to see
Well, they won't
me.
Know about this. This
they won't
come.
Know about this,
yeah.
Yeah.
They'll hear this yeah. after the fact.
Yep. And then I'll be at the Hollywood Laugh Factory tomorrow.
That's
going
to be.
I'm doing a special pop-in, too. So it's just, you know, going out there and you know, these are shows that I'm doing besides the stuff that are on my tour and stuff, you know, yeah. So.
Were you always, like, not even saying you're, I don't want to sound funny when I say this.
Say it, dog. Say what you feel,
dog.
And
gonna
say
be
it
like,
with
what,
your
dog?
Chest.
You gonna say I was never popular? Like, I can hear it now, bro. Like, when you were young, like, were you always popular? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you always.
I was always
proud.
I was always a party starter. I was definitely the one that was throwing the parties. You know, trying to get shit going. Yeah. I wasn't the most popular dude in high school, but you know, I had my fair share of popularity and shit, you know, but it wasn't. You know, it was never, I guess sometimes it wasn't even for the right reasons, you know what I'm saying? I had the drugs, I had everything that was, like, not, you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's why I'm asking, like, were you, like, a crowd drawer? Like, did you always draw a little circle to you?
You know what it is, too, dog? Being a comedian, dog, like, and just being funny, I think we're natural people pleasers.
Yeah.
We want to have people around us. We want to make people laugh. We want to make people like us in a way. And yeah, so I mean, I always tend to draw the crowd. At the same time, I always had a tight circle. So it was, I would throw parties and it was all good, but I had my tight circle that you couldn't get in, you know?
Right. That's live right there, man. Because you know, a lot of people, you can't f*** with a lot of people today, man. I mean, even back then, especially today, you can't be around just everybody because not everybody got your best intentions, man. I always say, get around somebody who got your best intentions versus just having a whole bunch of people around you just to say, hey, you're light.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, especially now, you know what I mean, as I've grown up, and shit, like, I want to have people around me that are going to better me. I don't want yes men around me.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? We all got vices, so I make sure that my people around me take care of me when it comes to shit like
that. Yeah, coke, you know.
And, you know, some part of the time, you know, and... Dude, I always say this, Sharp, like, you know, because I used to rap, you know what I'm saying? I had a decent career rapping. I quit at an early age. In fact, you know, I had songs on the radio. I was doing really good. I was being managed by great people, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, after my boy passed away, like, I went into starting to shoot music videos in 2010. And I was still acting, doing the acting, and I was on TV shows, and I got a couple movies. And I just say, you know what, this ain't for me. I want to be behind the camera like these dudes back here and And, you know, I did that for 10 years, you know what I'm saying? Did a bunch of music videos, you know, got over 1 billion views on all my work.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, if I would have been doing comedy back then, I you know, you probably would have heard of me, like, in a hotel dead or something, because I just wasn't in the right mind yet. I wasn't responsible enough. And I think now at this age, you know, I'm definitely more responsible. And I'm picking my team correctly, and I'm making sure, like you said, everybody has the best interest. Yeah. But also knowing, dog, that everybody needs to have their own position, because, you know, if only championship teams, dog, have the role players. So if you know your role, you're gonna win. You know.
Do you feel like you've had a solid support system?
Yeah,
throughout all this?
Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, it all comes from home. My wife has been great. You know, she understands the business. She grew up in the business. You know, shout out to Nikki. You know, she grew up in the business, so she understands what it takes to get this shit done. That is not just, you know, me going to a party. You know, because I go out to parties and I go out to, you know, network.
Yeah.
And I always figured if I had, like, a girl that didn't understand that, it'd be an issue, you know? So she's been supportive. She, you know, she's a teacher. She's a... You know, she homeschools our boys, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, she takes care of the house so that when I come home, it's more like, all right, I can just relax and just be dad now as opposed to trying to run everything myself.
How's the kids feel when, you know, y'all probably go to 7-Eleven for a couple Slurpees and somebody run up on you and want to take a picture?
They don't understand it. They're like, you're not even funny, Dad. They're like, you ain't funny, dog. They're like, you're not funny, dog. They're like, dude, you're not even Mr. Beast. Like, you don't even have a burger anywhere. Like, Dad, you need like another 100 million subscribers. Dad, you suck. Like, I'm like, word? I bet.
That's gotta be some fucking drive for your ass, right?
That's
there.
Like, it humbles me, dog, because then I get home and they're like, Dad, you ain't shit. You know, like, hey, put on this Xbox. Hey, fix this Xbox player. Right. Out the trash. You know what I'm saying? Buy that pizza.
Mom said you about to go to McDonald's for us.
Yeah, like, hey, homie, take that drive. I know you just got home, but take that drive one time, you know? Like, nah, my kid, obviously, I mean, like, you know, my oldest, he's 10, so he's starting to see it. And, you know, like, you know, we go out to the store and you know, like I said earlier, it's getting to the point right now where I really can't go anywhere without somebody recognizing me now. So my oldest is starting to see it, and he's like, that's cool, but, again, you're not Mr. Beast, you know? Like, He thinks fame and all that is like you got to be Mr. Beast or you got to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be one of those Tom Holland dudes. So he's like, you're famous, Dad, but you're not like famous. And I'm like, fuck, all right, let me work on this shit.
I feel like, man, you know, there's so much fantasy and bullshit that's built for these kids today. Like when me and you was coming up, it was actors, comedians, people like that, that we took a liking to, you know?
Yeah.
They done built so much fantasy shit these days for these kids, concrete. Like, they look up to a character off of Minecraft.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, yeah.
Real, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
That's what they care about.
It sucks when you ask your kid, like, hey, man, like, what do you want to be? Sure, I want to be Rubble from Paw Patrol. Like
what?
Like,
bro, what?
Fucking 10 already,
I
want to
be
bro.
The skin from fucking, what is it? Fucking whatever. I want to be like that dude. You know, yeah, man, my kids are, you know, they're still trying to figure out.
I told my kid, you must have wanted to be fucking a Gumby. Don't be a blockhead.
Like, yeah, no shit.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I was trying to be like, dog, hey, growing up, I was trying to be fucking Mario Lopez, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I used to watch Saved by the Bell, and I was like, damn, he's the only motherfucker that looks like me on this show, and I love this show. You know, like, and you know what I'm saying? Like, his name was AC Slater, but I was like, nah, this motherfucker's Mexican, dog. You know, this motherfucker's Mexican, dog. And come to find out, the dude's from San Diego, is totally with the shits. He's cool with the fucking culture. And, dude, I'm a big fan of dude. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and growing up, I was like, yeah, I want to be AC Slater, dog. You know what I'm saying? I used to see that shit.
You wanted to dance like him and everything, huh?
Oh, dog, I wanted to have the curls and shit.
Parachute
you know,
pants,
like,
all that
and I didn't
shit.
Know how to tell my parents that I wanted a Jerry curl. I was like, I want my hair like that. They were like, you can't have it like that. Your hair's straight. I wanted to have the Jerry curl dripping, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, on some Soul Glow shit. You know, like.
Motherfuckers don't even know what Soul Glow is, bro.
Oh, these kids don't get it, dog.
They don't get it these days, man.
And it's cool, man. We keep that shit for us. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you for real. Like, when did you genuinely find your funny? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what's
real?
Funny, Sharp, is that I've been, you know, I've been around my family and friends. I've always been the clown, you know, so I've always been clowning and making people laugh.
Which you said, but.
It wasn't until 2018 that I decided to take that step forward. In 2018, I was shooting a music video for Secan, which is arguably one of the biggest Latin American rappers in the world, and our boy Compton Menace. And we were shooting a music video, and we left the truck for 15 minutes. They stole all my gear, bro, $40,000 worth of gear, like that. Changed my life, bro. It took everything away from me. Everything I had worked for 10 years to get, It got stolen like that in 15 minutes, bro. From going to get the last shot of the music video to coming back, all my gear was gone. And honestly, dude, like at that point, man, it was kind of like, man, this is it. Like I didn't want to start over, dog. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I got to do all this shit again. I got to buy gear again. You know what? Fuck this. Like I'm gonna get back into my acting career. And you know, wifey was like, man, dude, this is crazy. Like we got kids. Like you don't want to get a job. Like I was thinking, you know, so we're struggling to what the fuck to do. Cause at this point, like, I have no more gear. I'm not getting the calls from music videos because I had posted a fucking Instagram. Like, yo, does anybody know anything? And I posted this like reel on Instagram and I even put it in black and white for dramatic effect, dog. I got all sad. And I was like, if anybody, please snitch. Call the hotline, dog. I was like, call the hotline, dog. You are not a snitch.
$40,000 worth of gear.
Yeah,
man,
and I had shot two music videos in Honduras that I had that hard drive with both of those music videos that I shot in Honduras, and I had them in one of the backpacks, and they jacked that too. So each video there was like 10 grand, you know what I'm saying? Like just off of flights and everything that it takes to do a video out of the country. And so I was like, man, fuck this shit. And I'm sitting at an office that, you know, shout outs to Pocos por Locos, Edub and Cooley. They were letting me have a studio, like an office room at their studios right there in Studio City. Mm-hmm. And in exchange, you know, I was doing, you know, like, you know, music videos on the low and, you know, it's kind of helping each other out. And I was kind of like, man, I don't know if I can stay here no more. I kind of felt bad because I couldn't really contribute to what the fuck we were trying to get done, right? And I'm going through YouTube videos, man, and I'm just eating my food. And at this time, MGK had dissed Eminem.
I remember.
Remember
that.
He dropped that music video, that. Right?
Yeah.
Your beard is weird type shit. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm watching that video, and I was like, yeah, man, let me record my reaction before I watch this video. So I put my cell phone down, and I recorded my reaction, and I posted that shit. I was like, ah, let's see what happens. I posted it, and dude, you know, I used to get 20 likes and 3 comments, and it was my mom type of shit. Like, keep going,
right.
Son. You know what I'm saying? Keep going.
Shit.
My sister,
shit.
You know, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to travel for work, dog. I mean, I used to, you know, like, I used to shoot for Roc Nation, Tidal, and I used to, you know, be in Europe and all this shit.
You've done a lot.
And nobody
bro.
Gave a fuck, right? It's kind of like, ah, nobody gives a fuck about the camera, man. Nobody gives a fuck about that. They just want to see the work, right?
Right.
And so I didn't get a lot of comments. And when I posted that video, dude, I got like 30 comments, like 1,000 likes. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what? People, and then people are like, yo, you're funny, dog. Your facial expressions are fucking funny, dude. Keep doing these videos.
Yeah.
And I called my girl, and I was like, she's like, I see it. She's like, do another one. I was like, all right, bet. Let me call you back. And then I started searching more videos, and I found a video of a lady getting caught at a store stealing some shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that little liquor store just looks like the liquor store down the street. I was like, I bet I can splice myself in this video and make it seem like I'm in there. And because of all the experience of me shooting for the last 13 years,
you knew how to edit.
I knew
shit.
How to edit it. I knew how to color
Damn.
It and really make it seem like I'm really there. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
So then I waited because the video was at night, and I told my girl, I was like, hey, give me 4 hours. I'm gonna wait till it gets dark, and I'm gonna shoot this video. She's like, all right, bet. I shoot the video. I go back and edit it. Bah, 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 bah. I edit that shit quickly, dude. And then I posted it, and that shit went bananas. Though I had like. To me, it was bananas at the time. It was like 3,000 likes, 100 comments.
That's a lot for somebody that don't ever
that nobody
have
was
no
doing
motion
it.
Going on.
I had nothing
page.
Going on.
Right, right.
And then after that, it was like, I got home and I told my girl, do I embarrass you with this shit? Do I embarrass you, like, as a husband to, like, be acting funny on social media? And, like, because it's a young man's game.
It's a young man's game.
It's a young man's game. So I was like, yo, do I embarrass
you
as
game
a wife?
Right now.
As a wife, she was like, nah, do your shit. You're funny.
Yeah.
I said, that's all I needed to know. Hmm. And after that, it was like, I didn't look back, man. I started doing videos, and I started just focusing on that. And you know, now I'm here on the fucking Shark Tank, dog. You know what I'm
bro,
saying? Like,
your shit's been going, bro, like, for a while. And to be honest with you, this is why I like sitting down with you, because I always thought you were always pushing, you know, the comedian move.
Yeah.
You know, but not comes to find out, you were really a person behind the camera,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You were editing and shooting music videos
yeah,
and shit.
Hell yeah.
It's fascinating, bro.
Yeah, man, I directed videos for 12 years, man. You know what I'm saying?
And how you were able to coincide both of them and, okay, I'm going to start editing my own little shit.
It all,
so
like,
you cut the middleman out of somebody yep. having to do anything for you.
I mean, I was doing it myself. I was like the audio. I would throw in the audio, and I would really put myself in these videos. And it was just like I knew what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been directing for so long. I'm genuinely... I feel like I'm, you know, I've never had acting classes. I feel like I'm just raw talent in a way. Like, I've never had really, you know, an acting coach or a comedic acting coach or nothing like that. So everything that I've been doing has just been to what I fucking think is funny, not what you think is funny. I don't do trendy shit. I do what I think is funny. And I think that's what's helped me create my own lane, bro, because there's nobody in my lane in a way. I'm doing me. I'm genuinely doing me. I'm not taking videos or taking sound bites and taking people's shit and doing it. So, you know, that's really what it boils down to. You know what I'm saying? That's how I created my own fucking lane. And I've been successful at it, man. It's been a blessing, you know, but nothing comes, obviously cliche shit, nothing comes with hard work. I dedicate my life to this shit every single day. I haven't had a regular job in, what, 17 years or some shit. You know what I'm saying? So everything's been a struggle.
It's gotta be hard when you go from making $10,000 a music video to $40,000 of equipment getting stole.
Well, yeah.
Now that was your piece of your bread and butter. How are you going to eat now? You probably have a certain lifestyle at that point that you would have, that you have to upkeep, especially have a family, to try to go work a regular job and try to make
$15
an hour.
I wasn't going to do it. Sharp. I don't know. I wouldn't know where to go to get it. Like, I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know how to do anything. I'm not. You know, I can't just go say, I'm going to go get a fucking job at a warehouse and be a I'm not even forklift certified, my G. Like, I don't know any of that shit. Like, right. I'm not that guy, right? Like, I'm an entertainer, bro. That's what I do, you know? And if I'm not doing the entertaining, I'm recording the entertainer. And the difference now that I just happen to be in front of the camera and it just happened to work out, dog. But I think everything happens for a reason. I think I am where I'm supposed to be at this time. And you know, like I said, it's a young man's game, but my work ethic is just... You know, these kids. You know
these
kids are
lazy.
Kids are waking up at 12. Motherfucker, I'm already on my fourth video at 12 p.m. You know, I'm already on my fourth fucking meeting. Technically, I'm doing lunch at 10 with these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, doing lunch at 9.
That's how you got to do it, because you know why? Yeah. That's called getting ahead of the day.
Yeah.
That's called getting ahead of the day. Like the things when people are starting to eat lunch, you're like, no, we already did that at 10 o'clock. So now we got more time to
Let's
do
go.
Some of the things we
Let's
need
go.
To do.
Let's go.
That's
yeah.
dope. How did you and, because it seems like you and him are real close. How did you and Tino come about?
So I was shooting a music video for Cheeky's, Frankie J, and Baby Bash.
Okay.
And in fact, this specific video, bro,
my
was
my niggas. I ain't gonna lie, he's back when they cuts back in the back.
Oh hell yeah, hell yeah, dog. Come on, dog. Of course,
yeah,
man.
I
Bash and Frankie, you know, dude.
Yeah.
They got cuts, bro.
They got cuts.
I was shooting a music video, and they happened to be casted to Frankie J. Brought them. He's like, "Yo, I know these two dudes. I need like, because I told him I needed guys for a scene, for like a doo-wop scene." And then so he called Jay, and another influencer by the name of Legend. And you know, the dude got a million followers and shit. And I was like, "Man, these dudes are dope." You know what I'm saying? So I kind of struck up a relationship with them, and I didn't start doing videos with Valentino immediately. It was. Because that video right there that I, you know, where I met those dudes at, that was the video that I had a week after they stole all my shit. So that video, that whole budget went to renting shit. I just rented shit. I didn't make no money off that video. They didn't know. Well, they knew that my shit had gotten stolen, but they didn't know that all my gear was rented at that point, you know? It was just, I mean, I rented from tripods to cards to fucking batteries. Everything that I needed for that music video got rented. And that's how I met Jay Valentino right there. And then so like maybe 6 months later, he asked me to shoot one of his skits because he was doing social media comedy heavy already. He was already like at 200,000 followers or some shit like that. And I was like, yeah, man, I'll come shoot it for you, dog. So, you know, at that point, I had like a little Sony. I had a Sony, Sony R, the two or whatever the case. And so I went and shot his comedy skit. And then he was like, yo, man, we should do one. And I was like, man, I've been having this idea, bro, for like a year now. I want to do this rebel shit. And I was, I think you'd be perfect for it. And, you know, if you're not familiar with the Rebel shit, the Rebels in the 90s here, it was like the party crew scene. So the Rebels were like these dudes that would wear Harley boots and bangs and like, you know what I'm saying, bald with bangs and shit. So to me, that was like, this shit ain't been touched, bro. Like this particular fucking
old
thing.
School, bro.
So it was nostalgic for anybody that was in the party crew scene from here, like the Southwest area of the States, right? So when we dropped that shit, bro, like, it did 800 comments in 5 minutes, bro. And I was like, yo, I think we got something, dog. We need to keep rocking some more shit together. So I just started writing with him, and then we just started coming up with dope concepts to do together. and we just kept pushing. And now, you know, obviously we've been doing pretty well for ourselves after that, you know? Yeah. You know, obviously he does his own stuff and I do my own stuff, but when we come together, it's just, you know, you can't fuck with it. It's like the new Cheech and Chong. It's the you know, like we like the Penn and Tellers of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just a great combo.
Yeah, because Tino, he's with the shit. Like, when y'all come together, you can just tell y'all mesh well. The chemistry is there.
Yeah, it's just chemistry, dog. And a lot of people don't understand that. I'm really, like, I'm a chemistry dude. First of all, I'm a chemistry dude. Also, I like to write parts for people, right? Like, I'm a writer at heart. And I don't just put people in a position to do a skit where they ain't going to shine because it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. So I tend to just write for people and write the right like the right role for them to just really make them shine. Because if I shine myself and nobody else is shining, then it's whack, bro. Like, that ain't what it's about. You know what I'm saying? The reason why the movie Friday was so successful is because everybody was born for that role, bro.
Everybody was born for that role, bro.
Chris Tucker was Smokey,
man.
You know.
Tiny Lester was Debo.
Everybody was down to Felicia. Like, everybody, bro, was. Besides Harlem Nights, and I think to me one of the funniest movies is Life. The ensemble in every one of those movies, the ensemble of every cast on those movies, dog, is just great, bro. And that's how you make classics.
It's a staple. That's what creates a classic, bro. Yeah.
You know, that's what creates a classic. You know, Blood In and Blood Out, that's huge in the, you know, Chicano community.
Everybody was born for that role. You watch that movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? That movie right there was iconic.
Iconic, bro. Like, that movie will live forever, bro. Forever.
Yeah. What I like about, because I love you dudes that do skits, man, and do the online comedy, because it's a lot of people want to hear y'all's story. You know what I mean? Yeah. But y'all so busy just making skits and things like that. And everybody always thinks that media always just goes for the bigger names or the people that are in the music entertainment. No, man. Like, people want to hear y'all's stories out. Yeah. They like them. I'm sure the viewers like hearing this side of concrete.
You know, it's crazy that I come from the era of where, you know, you have to audition for shit. And you still have to audition for shit, right? I think.
Yeah.
But as an actor, like, you know, back in the day, nobody would be able to see if you know how to act unless you went to an audition, right? Nobody knew you were funny unless you went to the club. Nobody knew you, you know, you had chops.
Word of mouth, man.
You know what I'm saying? It was word of mouth back then, which was really hard, right?
It was hard to spread. You know, like,
I got on the radio back in 2006 when it's still difficult to get on the radio, but to be on the radio back in 2006, it was like, okay, you did something. And that was word of mouth.
That was a lot.
So when I got into social media comedy, I took it as in, like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about Hollywood not seeing me audition or not getting the part that I need or the part that I think I'm good at. I'm going to create my own content, and I'm going to use my social media platform as my audition tape. You're going to be able to see that I got chops on my Instagram.
Dropping the jewels, man.
You know what I'm saying? I've never considered myself like a social media influencer, right? Because I'm not cut from that cloth. I'm cut from the cloth of, like, a 90s, you know what I'm saying? Like, 80s people that...
Well, there's still messages in...
You know what I'm saying?
There's still messages in your skits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I mean, if you really go and watch a lot of my skits, bro, like, there's always some kind of message, whether it's as minuscule or something where I'm, you know... I don't tend to get political on my shit, but there's always some kind of life message in my shit, you know? And that comes from, like, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, In Living Color, though. I grew up watching In Living Color. You know what I'm saying? That's sketch comedy to me, bro.
They put their whole family on.
That, to me, was sketch comedy. That's the epitome of sketch comedy. Obviously, the Chappelle shows and the Key and Peele's and all that dope shit. But I grew up on Jamie Foxx. I grew up idolizing dudes like Jamie Foxx, idolizing dudes like Jim Carrey,
Martin,
and
people like that coming.
Yeah,
around,
dog,
man,
and you know, so I'm too, I used to watch Tommy Davidson and all these dudes play characters, and that's why I am who I am. I mean, I grew up watching these fucking greats doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm basically on Instagram. It's my In Living Color TV show, because I don't have a network yet. A network hasn't said, hey. And I'm not waiting, bro. I'm dropping my shit. You know what I'm saying?
I was waiting for you to say that you're not waiting for
I'm not
it
waiting,
at all.
Bro. People can come and see my content. I just hope that they come and support my stand-up comedy shows, and that'll be the fair exchange. You know what I'm saying? Because right now, everything I do on social media is technically free. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Back in the day, you would have to be on a network for people to see your shit.
It sounds like to me, and well, better off, let me ask you as a question. Do you feel like the skits and things that you do online and for your page is almost like your own personal time capsule?
It is, bro.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean?
It like, is. It's my own network. I think it's my own network. It's my own time capsule. And honestly, dude, I don't erase shit. You know, you can go back and see what I did the last 10 years, like the struggle from me being a barber to me fucking, working at the New York Film Academy up the street right here as a TA. To me, you know, you'll see the progression from the little videos to the big videos. You'll see the downfall in 2018. You'll see the rebirth in 2020, you know what I'm saying, 2020, and then you'll see the pandemic and then me losing everything again and then me regaining everything in 2021, and now 2022 was a great year, it was a building year. And, you know, every year to me has just laid the foundation.
Aren't
that's
you happy
that's
now
why
that
I call myself concrete, because it's solid, you know?
Concrete, aren't you happy that you lost it all now? Think about it.
Yeah, dude, because I think
about
I,
it,
yeah.
Where you at right now.
Yeah.
And everything that you lost, and maybe at that point you didn't really truly understand it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it hurt. It hurt, man. Like, to get all your gear took, man. You know, when you just out trying to do the right motherfucking thing. You just really
it.
Out trying to get at your craft, you know? To come back, man, to find out all your shit gone. They took every battery, every lens.
I actually, in a way, I actually thank those people, dog. Because if that doesn't happen, it doesn't push me to follow my dream. It doesn't push me to follow what I'm put on this earth to do, which is make people laugh. Ultimately, shooting music videos was a passion of mine, but that ain't my calling, bro. My calling is make people laugh. That's what God put me here for. God knows that I'm good at doing music videos, but he's like, this ain't for you, bro. You need to make people laugh. And at the time, it was, I seen it as in like, man, come on, dog. Like, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm talking to God like, you know, come on, man. Like, what are you doing, bro?
Cut me some slack, man.
What are you doing, dog?
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward, now I'm like, I see what you were doing. You got me out of my comfort zone. You got me out of something that you knew wasn't for, that wasn't the end of my story. You know, my story continues, and now I get to make people laugh for a living, dog. And it started out, because I didn't make no money for a while. I didn't make money for at least a year and a half, almost 2 years. Of doing this comedy shit. And then it just started bubbling. I started getting brand deals and whatnot. And, you know, then my boys from AV Chevy came through, cut a contract, gave me a truck at a time where I didn't have a car for my kids. They fucking gave me a dope-ass Suburban. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So shout out to my boy Justin on that. Baby Bash during the pandemic, you know, he had to move. He actually, like during the pandemic, I was living with him because I was struggling after I lost all my gear. I was struggling, bro. I couldn't really make money. So he was like, you know what, dude, I got a big ass house, bro, here in Northridge. I'm back and forth touring. I don't need this big ass house, man. Why don't you come and stay with, you know, bring your family here, you know, pitch in on the rent, whatever you can. And once we get right, we get right. Well, then the pandemic hit. And so he left to Houston. He was just building his house in Houston. And then so here I go back, having to go back to my mother-in-law's house. And, you know, because as a man, dog, like, you know, as a man, like, you want to be able to provide, dog, a roof. I don't care how big the fucking roof is, provide. And the fact that I had to go back to my mother-in-law's house during the pandemic was a blow to the ego as a man, bro. Like, real shit, bro. I'll be completely honest. And I remember picking a stupid-ass fight with my mother-in-law about some dumb shit. And then I went into, like, a depression mode for 4 days, right? I ain't gonna lie, for 4 days, I just stuck in the room. I was like, I got to figure something out. And that's when I started doing community work. I was like, you know what? I got a roof. My kids got food. They got grandparents. I love them. I'm going to go out and help. And I started working with this organization called Project Hope. And we were giving out food, man, to people that really needed it. You know, figuring out money, getting money for people's rents, people's medicines, whatever they needed. And in 2020, September, that's when I got my first deal with Chevy, dog. And it was in direct connection to them because they did a give back at the AV Chevy dealership in Lancaster. And the owner was like, yo, man, I'll follow you, bro. He's like, you're funny as fuck. And I was like, really? I was like, all right, bet. And he was like, I'm the owner. And I was like, no, you're not. Because the dude's like, he got mad tattoos, you know what I'm saying? He's swaggy as fuck. Like, and in my mind, like, you don't own it, bro. Like, you're just like, you a drug dealer, bro. You know what I'm saying? It looks like you deal drugs, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, nah, come to my office. And he was like, man, how much would you want to make to promote my, you know, my dealership? And I was like, I didn't know how to price my shit yet. And then so he wrote a number down and slid it over the desk. And I was like, you want me to start on Monday or what? Changed my life, bro.
Changed your motherfucking life, bro.
Changed my life, dog.
I have to ask you, get back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier. You know, you were talking about coming out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, why do you think people are afraid to come out of their comfort zone? And what do you think they can do to get out of it?
They're afraid to eat shit, bro. You know, like, nobody wants to eat shit, bro. And in the world we live in right now where everything's on social media, you got to portray this person that has it under control and that is doing well and that is doing better than you, right? I got to portray that I'm doing better than you. And nobody wants to show that I'm not doing okay, but I'm going to make it. And I think that's the problem, right? It starts from there. And then also a lot of people don't have the fucking balls, dog, to really do it, you know? It takes a lot of confidence and you got to be able to risk it, dog. You got to be able to sacrifice people. A lot of people don't want to sacrifice shit, bro, you know? All my 20s, bro, I was working, bro. I was shooting music videos. When all my homies, they were partying, going to clubs, going to Cancun with girls and doing all this shit, I was working, bro. So I didn't really see that. Like, I didn't get to have my 20s like that, you know? And so that's a sacrifice, bro, that, you know, that I made in order to get to where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with being in your 20s and having fun, but when you want to get to a certain level and be elite at what the fuck you do, bro, you got to put in the work, bro. Look, G, let me tell you, there's, what, 400 positions in the NBA, right? There's 400 positions,
yeah.
Right? Out of those 400 players, bro, those guys are the best in the world. Those 400 players in the NBA are the best in the fucking world. And they put a lot of work and effort into what they do, correct? How much more effort do you think dudes like Michael Jordan and Kobe had to put to be even better than 99% of those 400, bro?
Man, work ethic had to be fucking insane.
Out of control, right?
That's what I
strive to be. It's like, if I want to be in the elite, I got to do this much. If I want to be better than the elite and be in this percentage, then I'm going to outwork you, dog. And that's just bottom fucking line. There's nothing else to it. You got to get up. Ain't nothing going to hand. Nobody's going to hand you shit, bro. Nobody. Nobody, bro. So to me, it's like, it's either I fucking go or I'm not going to get it, bro. You know? And I don't want to sit at the table. I want to have my own fucking table and bring people in. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a different mentality that I carry. You know what I'm saying? To me, it's very competitive. You know what I'm saying? Like, I take this shit as a sport, bro.
Another question for you. Have you thought about starting your own network and maybe bringing in some other people up under you?
Well, I do have a studio in Valencia where I have similar to this. I have a bunch of podcast rooms that I run for different people. So I have a production network. I'm starting to write movies where I want to bring other actors in. And obviously, like, now with the touring that I'm doing, I'm bringing other comedians that I think are dope that are not getting the shine they deserve or, you know, the looks that they deserve. So I'm trying to bring in other dudes that I feel are hilarious and that need the platform. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I'm actively working on it. Obviously, everything's a work in progress. But, you know, within the last year, man, we've developed five podcasts at my studio and we're running them. And it's it's dope, man. Hopefully one day we can be as big as No Jumper. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
or
man.
Bigger. I'm coming, No Jumper.
I know.
I'm fucking with you.
Do you plan on doing any comedy tours, bringing some people under your wing along the
way?
To where you do your own show. Hey, y'all gonna come on the road.
Yeah.
For a bit.
Yeah, right now I've been I've been touring with Los Toxicos, and that's my boy Jerry Garcia, Jesus Sepulveda. Both of those guys have, you know, HBO, Netflix specials, along with my boy Jay Valentino. And I started on that tour when I was barely doing stand-up, bro. I'm like 2-3 months in at that point. And they're like, yo, you're good, bro. Like, you're funny. People like you. Just do this tour with us. Because I was hesitant. I never wanted to do stand-up, Sharp. It wasn't my thing. I was like, I'm a comedic actor, bro.
Were you afraid to fail in it?
Yeah, because I felt like if I fell, it's gonna hurt my career. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, it's gonna hurt.
Smart for the long run.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I rather just keep doing this acting shit. Mm. You know, I always felt like I'm more of a, you know, in the sense I'm more of a, you know, comedic actor. Like, you know, there's stand up comedians that turn actors and then they're just very successful. You know, the Eddie Murphys and the Kevin Harts and the Jim Carreys and the Jamie Foxxes and all these dudes that were stand up comedians turned actors and became fucking, you know, staples in Hollywood, like A1, tier one acts, you know? But I was like, I just never saw myself as a stand up comedian. It wasn't until I started talking to some of the comedians that were following me that were like, damn, I didn't even know you liked my shit. They were like, yeah, you're funny, dude, you know? And a lot of the tier one comedians hit me up and they're like, look, man, you gotta do the stand up shit, bro. If you wanna be one of us and you wanted us to take you seriously, right? You're gonna have to do the stand up shit, right? And I think it's like a rite of passage in a way, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's kinda like, you know, street cred. Like, you gotta do the work, you gotta go get dirty, you gotta eat shit, you gotta get on stage and bomb. And sure enough, man, I started doing that shit. And so I got on the tour, they asked me to host it. I started as a host on that. Just as a host. I was just coming up and doing, you know, crowd work and then introducing the comics. I went from that to, you know, being the guy that people want to see sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
How was your first show?
I bombed.
Vomit on your sweater.
I bombed, dog.
Mom spaghetti?
Bad.
All over your sweater.
I shit it on myself, dog. Fuck vomit. I shit it on myself, dog. I'm in Vegas, right? And I chose like Vegas too as my opening.
As your opener. Yeah, you really
fucking
pushing it.
Confidence as at an all-time high, right, dog? Confidence is an all-time
high.
Yeah,
I'm just imagining what you were going through.
Andy Ruiz is there, you know, heavyweight champ of the
world. Shout out Andy Ruiz.
I got fucking the Gypsy Kings in the building. I got a bunch of famous people. They're watching shit. And it's like a day event. You know, so people have been having a good time. And I go up there and I'm doing my jokes and like, in my head, bro, everything's hitting. I'm in my head. I'm zoned out. I'm just like, bah, bah, bah. And I started seeing people slowly getting up and trickling out. And I was like, what the fuck? And I do my last little joke, and it didn't hit. It was like a wheelchair joke. There was a lady in the front row sitting in the wheelchair. I remember she just kind of rolled away and shit. She was like, fuck all this, dog. You know what I'm saying? And I still got off hella confident, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, thank you guys for having me, Vegas. I appreciate you. It's my first time doing stand-up. I had people, you know, a couple people cheered and shit, you know. And I got off. And again, I didn't know shit was bad until people started coming up to me and they were like, you lose some, you win some, kid.
What the fuck?
What?
I'd have been hot, bro. Like, what the fuck?
I was like, what do you mean? And then somebody else came up and they were like, hey, you going to be all right, King. Keep going. And then my girl comes up to me and she was like, baby, we're in Vegas. Just, we're going to have a good time tonight. Don't worry about it. And I was like, what do you mean don't worry about it? She's like, you fucking sucked. I was like, what? She was like, you sucked. You sucked. I was like, it was that bad? She was like, yeah, it was bad. I said, all right, fuck it. And then, you know, I was like, cool. So I just, you know, I took that L. And then I started writing more. Immediately, I started writing. And my boy Jerry calls me up for the second show. He was like, yo, I'm doing this show at the Levity Live in Oxnard, dog. Why don't you come and host it? And I was like, you know what? Fuck yeah, I'm ready. Same shit ain't going to happen in Vegas. I'm not bombing twice in a row, dog.
Right.
It's not
going
to happen, dog. I'm funny, dog. Like, what's going on, dog? What's going on? This can't be, dog, right? This can't fucking be, dog. So I go to the Oxnard show. And I'm so confident that on the way up there, I had 30, 40-minute drive up there, and I was like, I started writing a new joke. I'm writing, and I was like, oh, this is going to be fire. I'm going to open up with this. And as a comedian, stand-up comedians, they know, like, opening up with a brand-new joke is a cardinal sin. You don't do that. You don't open up with a brand-new joke. You throw in something you know has worked already, and then you slide in the one that's new. And if it doesn't work,
you're just going against the grain.
I'm going against the grain.
Anti-everything.
I don't give a fuck. I'm funny. You going to laugh. Oh, you going to laugh, dog. You know? And I go in and I start it off. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, Oxnard? And I go into that joke. And, like, there's some dude in the front row, like, right behind the front row. He's like, you know, because it's like seat. It's like a table. So he's, like, on the second chair. And I remember all I heard was, there was, like, a dead silence, dog. And it was like, is this supposed to be fucking funny? And it's loud, bro. Like, everybody heard it. And then you know when somebody you know says something, it gives other motherfuckers a license to want to say something too. So then it started like, yeah, that's what I said. This is bullshit. And then some other dude's like, is this what the fuck I paid for? And I'm like, I'm drowning again, dog. I'm drowning. And then because I've been hosting so many concerts at that point, you know, for Bobby D, and I'm doing all these concerts.
Yeah.
I went into concert hosting mode. I was like, where are all my ladies at? Make some noise. And I just try to get the attention off of the joke. And I was like, yo, where are all my fellas? Where are all my dogs at? Where are all my 80s babies? Where are all my and now I got the crowd hyped up and I got off, right? And I introduced the next comedian. I got off and he was like, what the fuck? My boy's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like, what the fuck is that joke? When he's like, dog, didn't we talk about it? I told you, do the ones that work. You've been going out and doing what are you doing? And dude, I went back out there, bro, and I felt like shit, dude. I wanted to go home, bro. I was like, I'm done, bro. He's like, no, you're not leaving. I was like, I'm fucking done. I'm out of here. I'm done with the stand-up shit. I'm out of here, bro. I'm not going to be embarrassed 3 times, bro. Because you got to understand, like, Sharp, like, there's a sense of embarrassment you can't get away from.
Right.
It's right
it's
there,
like a
bro.
Stench of failure.
It's
all
not
over
like,
you.
And that's why people were like, if you want us to really, if you want us to really accept you in the comedian world, you got to eat shit with us. Because on social media, bro, I drop a skit. And if it don't hit, guess what? I just put my phone down and walk away from it.
Right.
There's no walking away sharp from the stage, though.
Nah, there's not.
You can't drop the mic and just run. You're going to look like a fucking, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be way harder to come back from that than to just drive yourself through it, focus, regain your shit, go back out there and get it done. And I ended up leaving on a really high note that night, you know, and I bombed a couple jokes here and there, but it hasn't been like that at all now.
So you end up going back out on stage,
mm-hmm.
and kicking
and
the
reclaiming
jokes.
And reclaiming the stage, bro. I had to get them back, you know. And at the end of the day, people were dope. I went back to Levity Live not too long ago, and dude, I had a fucking great reception, dog. They know who I am now. Now they're, you know,
do you feel like you leaving would have set the tone for the next upcoming comedian that was going to come out there?
If I leave, not only does it put a bad, you know, it puts a dink on the armor for sure.
Yeah.
And then comedians will now be like, fuck that dude. He bailed on us. You know what I'm saying? It's like a teammate bailing out on you in the middle of a game, bro. It's like Pippen not getting up from that bench in that game in the 90s.
Yeah.
Just straight.
Saying,
is it
hard to gain back the audience for the next comedian?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, hell yeah. Because you're supposed to set the tone. You're
supposed to set the tone.
You're setting the tone. You as a host have to go out there and set the tone and making, you know, get them hype. And I completely like shit the bed on that, bro. It was bad. I'm talking, it's bad, dog. I'm talking about, I still replay it, dog, and I'm like, never again, dog, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's, you know, I learned my lessons, and now I'm fucking, you know, from what the census say, I'm killing it now, so, you know.
Bro, you've been killing it, man. You know, I'm thinking about coming and showing up to your show tonight.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I'll put you front row, hell yeah.
Yeah, put me down, man. Sure, I'm going to come up there just to come check it out. I want to laugh. Man. I want to see what it is that you do live, man,
yeah.
You know? Because it's an honor to be in presence of future greatness of what's going to really stand for the comedian scene, man. For real, for real. Like, and I feel like this is where it starts. Bernie Mac and them wasn't always the shit. Steve Harvey and them wasn't always the shit. Like, they all got those eat shit stories that you're talking about.
Yeah, man, you got to eat shit,
man. It's crazy that you said that. Like, because you look back on all the comedians that are high profile, people that we've known and have set themselves in the cement for years.
Yep.
All have shitty ass stories, man.
Oh man, they got bad stories, bro. I mean, I'm still new in the game. I'm only a year and 3 months in, but I've been blessed to have a platform that people know me from, right? Like they see my skits, they see my videos, and in order for me to sell out these shows, I need to make sure that I'm still funny on my social media page because that's what drives my ticket sales, right? Like,
right.
I don't have a machine. I don't have a big agency or nothing like that. So
everything
that I do is organic and is independent. So I got to make sure my page is right so that my shows on my tour can sell out. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta stay double funny, bro. I got to be funny on stage, get off the stage, be funny on camera, and because that's the only way it's going to work, you know? I mean, at least for me, you know what I'm saying? I know there's other comedians that are selling out just based off their you know, their other stand-up, but they've also had
their likeliness is what we brought.
Well, I mean, well, yeah, but they've also had 5-6 years in the game, you know. I'm only a year and 3 months in. So I rely on my social media page for them to be like, okay, I he's funny on social media. I'm down to go pay to see what he does live. You know what I'm saying? And so far, it's been working out, man. I've been blessed, bro. You know, selling out shit, man. It's crazy.
I think you're gonna kill it, bro. I see it. And, you know, that's what No Jumper was based off of, was the up and coming. You know what I'm saying? It was people like this.
That's facts.
You know what I mean? That really knew that man was going. You know what I'm saying?
That's facts.
3 years from now, this motherfucker gonna be somewhere, and this interview ends up being iconic.
Dude, 3 years from now, I want to say 3 to 5 years, man. I'll be at Crypto. I want to sell out Crypto. That's my goal. I want to sell out Crypto.
That should be
crazy.
And
that's like.
Well, this is gonna be your time capsule right here, man. And
right here,
five
years from now, I want to sell out Crypto, dog, or Dodger Stadium or whatever. It's sharp. It's gonna happen.
Like, it's gonna happen. You ain't got no choice.
That's just my attitude, though. If I cancel it out, at least I'll do half of it. You know what I'm saying? I'll sell out the parking lot, dog. You know what I'm saying? We sold out the parking lot at Crypto, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That parking lot big as fuck.
But I just think if you don't put goals and you don't put like a benchmark, like if you don't put something in your sights, bro, you're never going to get to it. If you just keep kicking the rock right in front of you, bro, you know, that's as far as you're going to get, you know?
That's why I always say if you set a goal, you can at least, even if you don't reach that, you'll get damn near somewhat close to it.
That's it.
The shot won't be too far off from it. You know what I'm saying? And you can regroup from that and shoot for more.
If it's not Crypto, it's the Forum. Right. You know what I'm saying? The Forum. Well, what is it now? The Kia Center? Yeah, Kia Forum and shit, but yeah. So if it ain't Crypto, if it ain't 18,000 people, I'll take 10,000. You know what I'm saying?
Real shit. Before we get up out of here, anybody you want to shout out, man? Anybody you want
to? Man, I just want to shout out the team, man. Everybody that's behind me, man. You guys know who you are, man. Let's keep pushing, and shout out to the fans that keep supporting the page. Just keep commenting, keep sharing my skits, keep doing all that, and. You know, I promise you, I'm not gonna let you down. We're just gonna keep moving and definitely giving back to the community. Shout outs to Project Hope, AB Chevy, Tacos Superior, the McDonald's family. Shout outs to all you guys, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Shout outs to No Jumper. Shout outs to you, Sharp, the Sharp Tank, for having me, man. This is a blessing, bro.
We appreciate you, man.
It's dope to be here, man. To be a part of the culture and to really be having a sense of like crossing over and really doing something bigger than just me, you know.
And I love that we got to do it, man, right here in your backyard, man.
This is dope. Real, this is dope. Yeah, man.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
For coming
hey, by
through,
the way,
man,
did you check in?
What?
Did you check in? Oh, you didn't check in with Swifty Blue?
You motherfucker, yeah. I fucking bet. The Sharp Tank.
Let's go.
No Jumper. Sharpest, coolest podcast in the world.
Hey.
Hey, Donnie, shoot us out the motherfucking gym.